This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you. Just a little bit about UC College. It's on near the south coast, back of Southampton, and we have 22,000 learners. That figure would not be believable, and I know one or two colleagues have been to Eastleigh, wouldn't it be believable unless you knew that we had a very large partnership network. And for equality and diversity, that was very, very important in terms of monitoring our behaviour, because a lot of the students who are under our name are not necessarily directly delivered through us. When we looked at the SIF and saw that there were limiting grades, clearly the issue was we're supposed to take this seriously, very seriously. So both safeguarding inequality and diversity being limiting grades, how would we deal with them? Safeguarding was very much a concern from the time, the context of child protection. And I know a number of colleges went down the road of developing a child protection program and said, that's our safeguarding. And in terms of equality and diversity, a lot of colleges said, right, we've got to look at the gap. So we were looking at these things and deciding whether we should deliver a discrete development in these areas or whether we should try and integrate them, not simply with each other, but with everything else we did. We also were concerned about getting compliance from staff and students and how would we do that. And in essence of all of these things, the real implication was, and it's the thing that's been running through this morning, do we have everybody involved? Do we get some people involved and specialise them and so on? And our view was that if we looked at the issue we got, then yes, there's some slight overlaps with safeguarding and equality and diversity. But if you look at it as a very specialist thing, you're going to end up looking at safeguarding as child protection, and you're going to look at equality and diversity as narrowing the achievement gap, because that's what inspectors are concerned about outcomes. If you want to develop it more, then if equality and diversity, you would add these things. And again, you're looking at a very specialist activity and trying to bring staff along by saying, oh, I don't know about all that stuff. I just teach. And so what we really tried to do then was to link it up with things that were already central to our system in the college, connect them up to our processes and procedures, even to data protection, which is was a novel idea. But in essence, we were trying to connect them up to existing processes that were already well established and well supported in the college by both staff and students. So what did we do? We chose this holistic approach. We chose to engage with everybody and ensure that everybody would comply and conform to the activities that we were proposing under safeguarding, under equality and diversity. It wasn't a specialism for somebody or a little tick box at the bottom of the lesson observation form that we had. Oh, yes, done equality and diversity. That's fine. Oh, dealt with safeguarding there as well. No, two ticks. And our stress was to try and make these things mainstream as opposed to technical specialisms. Make them learner-centred, start from the students, because at the end of the day, our staff are fully learner-centred. They don't do anything unless you explain it through the benefit to students. Our process is to engage all our staff and all our students. Now, all our students is difficult if several thousand of them don't actually come into college because they're out there with partners. But we said we would try and engage with every single person to develop a very strong communication strategy and to ensure that there was strong leadership support for that communication strategy. The kind of things we did differently was to introduce an LGBT theme and groups and have those groups meeting on a regular basis. We promoted mental health awareness in the college. It's something which is always something in the background. We brought it to the fore. We revised the tutorial programme. We undertook two accreditations, the Investors in Diversity accreditation and the IIP in health and wellbeing. We also created some online training units with the help of ELSIS to provide safeguarding and respect to genders and programmes of learning within our partners as well as for our own staff and for people and employers who work with us. And that's available on the Excellence website, so if anybody wants it, look for that. And we wanted to raise stakeholder involvement, so more and more community groups, more and more employer forums and so on were set up to go through these agendas specifically. In terms of the external accreditation, the real issue for us was that it provided an external frame of reference. We're not talking about the SIF now, we're talking about an external frame of reference that's focused on the issues that we were looking at. They provided a systematic and a detailed review of the practice that we currently had, and oddly enough, they asked people that we wouldn't think to ask to comment on, to identify strengths and weaknesses of our practices and the way in which we worked. So that we proved extremely useful. And we felt that we got an external and more objective judgment on our actions and their impact. And we also got a kite mark for the progress we've made. So just taking the feedback from them, remember we're trying to create a new culture, a culture which is embedded in both safeguarding and in equality and diversity. And the phrase has come out from a number of people. They identified that we had a passion for improving people's lives, not delivering qualifications, because I think the days of FE delivering qualifications has gone. There's a much more holistic need within the service to provide for the users of our provision. A quote from IID was that this is, because again, we're trying to change culture, so when I picked this up, I thought, great, we seem to have done it, because people were saying that this is what we do, this is how we are, this is what we do. We're not forced to do this. This is a natural reaction, something that we do. It's not a natural reaction, I tell you. There's 2 or 3 years of work gone into this, but the point is, it now feels natural for the people involved. We have engaged with staff across the board. IIP said straight away that equality and diversity was firmly embedded and permeates throughout all aspects of the college activity. Again, a signal for us that we were changing the culture. We were embedding it firmly. There is a very inclusive and consultative culture throughout the college. We consult on everything all the time. Not simply with the people inside, because the issue is about don't talk to yourselves, talk to people around you, talk to stakeholders, talk to those people who are affected by your delivery, whether they're in the college or whether they're outside the college. In terms of strong communication, that's strong communication between the staff, the students, parents, partners, community groups, specialist groups of all kinds. And so there's a very extensive consultation process going on. And it's not a consultation process of talking, it's a consultation process of listening, finding out what is a concern, what is an issue, how it can best be done. A nice example of that was we got the maps of the college and had student focus groups to go through it and say, where do you feel most unsafe in the college? So walking towards the refectory, some groups of girls said they felt unsafe because there's a whole group of leering engineers standing around scoring them as they went to coffee and so on. So again, immediate issue, go straight back to these groups and actually change their behaviour. That is very specific and as detailed as that on a constant basis, so that we were trying to embed these principles for both safeguarding and for equality and diversity. And we also made the learner voice active. Not simply sent out surveys or had little focus groups. The student executive, and I know actually this morning talked about it, the student executive became very active. And they also have an agenda which they promote, which is not an agenda we give them, it's an agenda we have to go with. So from our point of view, we've got 3 student governors on our governing body, and they make sure that we are running the college for the students, with the students. A whole series of pamphlets, publicity material and so on have been produced. The safeguarding stuff all comes out of student design, so the students have designed this and commissioned it. We have tried to present to students, so this is our designs and so on, issues around diversity. There's the Speak Up campaign, which we activate every so many months in the college, which is a campaign against bullying. And we also have a lot of programmes and pamphlets for staff, to emphasise for staff what their support is as staff, as employees to the college, as well as emphasis on materials to help employers to think about equality and diversity. That's a workplace learning handbook, and that's the book that was produced with the help of the ELSIS, Safeguarding Respect in the Workplace. So, in terms of communication comments, Ofsted said that there's a whole college approach and it provides a seamless service. That's what we were trying to do. And again, more emphasis about the consultation is an outstanding feature of the service. And the parents were exceeded their expectations to how much consultation they had. Some parents were annoyed at how much consultation they had, but that's another issue. Equality and diversity was also identified. In terms of, we took it very seriously that we engaged with the learners and they had to look at their own behaviour with their own colleagues. Bullying between students is just as unacceptable as bullying between staff and bullying from staff to students. So the real issue here was making those elements alive and bringing them out to the fore. There was a really touching one here about students say they feel safe because staff care about them. Very simple. It's not technical. It's simple. And it's what staff do. And it's just staff being able to communicate that effectively across to the students. We have a three-year cycle of impact assessment of all policies and procedures. That's every single thing gets impact assessed every 3 years. Each year we have a programme to go through, and we involve people from outside, from interested bodies and organisations, as well as a range of people from within the college who will help as well. There is a robust training programme, and obviously capacity to improve under Ofsted's current SIF is very important, and the issue is how can you improve people if you're not training them? So there's a very heavy commitment to training, and that comes up in some of the comments at the end. We also had an extensive network to establish good practice, and I know one or two of you in the room have experienced the kind of networking the college tries to do in the South East to connect up with other colleges and find out what they're doing well and learn from them. And likewise, inflicting, in terms of self-assessment, visits from other colleges to tell us what we're not doing well or where we are doing well. And to try and give an objective view of our own judgments of what we're doing. Because it's very hard when you're deeply involved in this to establish how objective you're being about your own good practice. Many times I've been to colleges and said, "Oh, we do this really well," and I've had comments saying, "Well, yeah, but so does everybody else, so why are you getting excited about that? Isn't there anything else you do?" Well, not really. So, you know, is that good then? And never mind excellent. We also have a very extensive range of checking I discovered when I was preparing for this that 15% of our full-time students declare convictions, and every single one of those convictions are risk assessed, and if necessary, if they're complex convictions, to have a panel to do a risk assessment on whether they are actually going to be suitable to be engaged with our community. And again, another emphasis, and I think it's been said three times this morning, there's a clarity of roles and responsibilities with the training to support those roles and responsibilities. If you haven't got that, it'll come across in the inspection. So the leadership comments. What I liked about the Ofsted comment about risk management is a boring old thing that no one's really interested in. Actually, it's quite central to what we do at the college. And what Ofsted picked up was actually that enables more learning to take place than shuts down, which is not what you would believe if you read the Daily Mail. All staff are confident about their roles. The professional development opportunities are important within the college. We sustain a phenomenal amount of staff development within the college, and that pays off. IIP said it's particularly good at sharing good practice, and that's quite true. We do emphasise sharing good practice, whether it's in lesson observation and teaching and learning, or whether it's in any other aspect of the college work that we do. We have paired and squares of four who actually look at their practice and identify what's good practice and try to identify other good practice that they've heard about and bring it into the college. The management systems are robust to sustain best practice, and I think that's what's very important in terms of leadership. And I think, again, the issue about best practice is all about the confidence that both staff have to do things and the way in which they can evaluate what they're doing, so they can take a more objective view of it. So overall, and I'll finish on this, IIP said they were impressed by the culture of the college. Remember, we were trying to change the culture. And I don't believe, until somebody else from outside tells me, I don't believe that we fully changed that culture until I've got an objective view of it. And I took this to be an objective view. And the college is extremely inclusive. Management staff are committed to ensuring students are supported in a non-judgmental environment, and I thought that was fundamentally important, and I really warmed to that comment. And that the students respected each other, because at the end of the day, if the staff are busily respecting everybody but nobody else respects each other, you haven't got a culture of diversity or of a safe culture. And finally, the ethos of safety is embedded in the college. We got there with all the staff engaged, and the issue of students and connecting diversity to learning support was fundamentally important in terms of this comment that came out. The amount of adaption, the amount of individual support, the amount of overall support and overall engagement with learners was fundamentally the basis of that comment at the end. And I think, for me, that was, I sat there glowing. You sat there crying, well, I sat there glowing at the end, because I'd never heard such nice things said from an inspector in my whole life. And I have been an inspector for 4 years as well. So I was glowing with these comments, because what it showed is we'd very focused attempt to change the culture, to embed these principles, and to embed these principles across the whole provision, connect them up to the processes that we already felt were good, and it paid off. And I think that's what I'm suggesting is a structured process to go through in your own colleges. Thank you very much.